The final presenter was Miguel Sayuco. Miguel is from Manila and has lived in Montreal for almost 3 years now. In 2008, the manuscript for his debut novel, Ilustrado, won Asia's biggest literary award, the Man Asian Literary Prize. Ilustrado would be published in May in 16 countries and 12 languages. You are listening to audio from Movements in Manila, a photo exhibit by Stefan Christoff. It is being held at Casa Maza at Park, just north of Montreal.
Yeah, I became a writer because I didn't really like speaking in front of large crowds. So I hope you'll all go gentle with me and laugh at all my jokes. Yeah, that was a joke. Yeah, I'm from the Philippines. I was born and raised there. I've lived here in Montreal for about 3 years. I come from a family of means. My parents were both politicians. I left the Philippines and decided not to follow in the footsteps of my father because I felt that if I became a politician like him, I would either become corrupted by the necessary compromises that are needed to change the country, or I'd be shot. And I've lived abroad for 10 years now, and it was really quite wonderful to have met Stefan and heard about his photographs and to see images of my hometown. Today actually marks the 111th anniversary of the start of the Philippine-American War. Does anyone really know about the Philippine-American War? Come on. Nobody knows about the Philippine-American War. It's like five hands. This was a war that historians believe killed as many as 1 million Filipinos. This was America's first foray into a colonial experiment. This was their first Iraq. It went on for about 3 years, after which the next 10 years saw many isolated insurrections and rebellions. The Philippines is a country that, we like to say, spent 377 years in a convent and 42 years in Hollywood. We were a Spanish colony for a very long time, and then we were an American colony for a very long time. And that's why we all speak very good English. But I guess what I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that nobody here really knows about the Philippine-American War, the fact that for almost a century it took the history books a century for it to be rewritten. It was called the Philippine Insurrection for 100 years, including the history books that many Filipinos read for several generations. It was only just a few years ago, about 10 years ago, that they started revising this and calling it for what it was, a war in which the Filipinos, who had just declared independence from Spain, who had just solicited help from the U.S. and were told that, no, we don't give, we won't make you a colony because we were a colony too, and it's in our constitution not to take an imperial stance in the world. The United States went on and made us a colony for 45 years, only letting us have our independence after we were completely destroyed in World War II. So, I mean, the fact that we've forgotten all of these things, forgotten about this country that, was very close to home, was supposed to be the 51st state of the United States, it was hoped. We've forgotten that it was once considered the Pearl of the Orient. We've forgotten that it has a very rich culture that mostly because most of our architecture and art was destroyed in the Second World War. We've forgotten all these things, and we wonder, what is it about the Philippines that we know about? You think Imelda Marcos, you think of shoes. You say, I've got a great Filipino maid. The guy who killed Johnny Versace was Filipino. And these are the things that we know about. We know about the Philippines, and there is that fog of forgetting. And you know, one of the reasons why I became a writer was because I didn't become a politician. I felt that if I could remember, if I could talk about the things that we as a culture don't want to talk about, then I'm doing something almost as good, perhaps even better than being a politician who, you know, has his hands tied behind his back because of the culture of corruption. And that's why I write, and that's why, you know, I'm so pleased to see all these wonderful photographs, because these photographs are testimony to not wanting to forget, to not wanting to disregard this culture that, well, frankly, isn't the most fashionable country to go and give aid to right now. We had our heyday in the 1970s during Marcos, when we were of strategic importance against the war against communism. The Philippines, in many ways, for many centuries, was like, if you think back to when you were in college and you had a friend who lived downtown, had a really nice apartment, and your whole group would go there before you went out to the clubs, and you'd get drunk, and you'd drink all this booze and smoke all this pot and dirty his floors, and you know, and then you'd leave and kind of forget about this friend. You know, he was the convenient friend who was strategically placed. And that's what the Philippines is. You know that friend. You see him on Facebook and you say, who's this? Oh yeah, I remember that guy. And I think it's really important for us to be able to remember this country, that it's more than just, you know, call centers and domestic helpers. So I'm told I'm supposed to read now. Which is probably a lot easier for me than speaking off the cuff. Yeah, my book is called Ilustrado. The Ilustrados were a group of young men who in the late 1800s left the Philippines, studied in Europe, mostly in Spain, learned all they could about liberal ideas and warfare, returned to the Philippines, and started the Philippine Revolution. And this book is about them in part, but it's also about this idea that this huge million-strong diaspora of Filipinos has the opportunity now to return to the Philippines with everything that we've learned and create some sort of social revolution, which is something I hope I convey in the book. So in this scene, the narrator is returning home from the Philippines after years of exile, self-imposed exile in New York City. The airplane comes down low. From above, the city is still beautiful. We pass over brown water off the coast, fish pens laid out in geometrical patterns, like a Mondrian viewed by someone colorblind. Over the bay, the sunset is starting, the famous sunset, like none anywhere else. Skeptics attribute its color to pollution. Over there's the land, the great gray sprawl of 11 million people living on top of each other, on barely over 240 square miles. 14 cities and 3 municipalities, skyscrapers and shanties, tumbling beyond kilometer zero and the heart of every Filipino, the city that gave the metro its name, Manila. The megalopolis's components, when named, sound like mountain music, all drums and cymbals and gongs. Parañaque, Manduluyong, Makati, Pasay, Navota, San Juan, Cubao, Quezon City, Caloocan, Taguig, Malabon, Pasig, Las Piñas, Marikina, Muntinlupa. Connecting them, the grid and super avenues, EDSA, Rojas, Aurora, Taft, countless overpasses built like band-aids, innumerable billboards, restaurants for every nationality and budget, huge shopping malls with Bulgari, Shoemart, Starbucks, Nike, you name it. You want it, you can get it in Manila, in shops and tabloids, alleyways and boardrooms. There, by the shadow of our airplane, near Rizal Park, where the statue of our hero stands as centennial testament to a stolen revolution, we're now flying low enough to see tangled lines of jeepneys and buses bringing people home from work. That crowd there with the banners is a small part of a million worshippers en route to the weekly, desperate El Ohim prayer rally where Christ is the answer to unanswerable Boolean questions. If you look closely, there's Reverend Martin on stage in his metallic double-breasted suit and happy colored tie, a a man of God and a man of the people, whose faith earned him financial security and a mansion in a gated subdivision. Modern Manila, she who was once the pearl of the Orient is now a worn dowager, complete with the hump, the bunions. The memories of the Charleston step to the imported and flawlessly imitated melodies of King Oliver, the caked on makeup and the lipstick smeared in thick stripes beyond the thin, pursed lips. She, the trusting daughter of East and West, lay down and was destroyed, her beauty carpet-bombed by her liberators, cautious of their own casualties, her ravishment making her kindred to Hiroshima, Stalingrad, Warsaw. And yet, from the air, you think her peaceful and unflustered. On the ground is a place tangled with good intentions and a tyrannical will to live. Life works with the Lord's benevolence and a generous application of duct tape and Filipino ingenuity. 500 years ago, Spanish conquistadors sailed their wooden ships into the world's most perfect harbor to begin their mission of, as historians say, God, gold, and guns. Their walled fortress is still there, as is their religion and blood, but the gold they and others took with them, or apportioned among their few native deputies. Manila has changed since. It's changed, too, so little. If you know where to look, this is the most exciting city in the world. The airplane's wheels touch down. The passengers, as Filipinos do, clap.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, so my book will be out in May. I've spent 4 years writing it. It's about the Philippines. It charts 150 years of our history, from the Spanish colonial experience through World War II, before that, through the American colonial experience, through World War II, through our fight with the communists, and up until the problems that we now face every day. On May 10 is our big national election. Gloria Macapagal Arroyo has been compared unfavorably to Marcos. She's the president who's actually, after Marcos, she's spent the most years in power, and it's said also that she's also plundered the country almost as much as he and his cohorts did. So on May 10, we're hoping that things will be changed. But it's also important, and I've lived through elections. As I said, my parents were politicians. I've walked the campaign trails through, you know, the urban slums and amongst the rural poor. And we have a culture of forgetting. We're a culture of people who like to laugh and joke and sing because we want to forget our problems. And on May 10, you know, hopefully we will make those changes. But it's important that the world is watching. So, you know, I just hope that now the Philippines is a little bit more on your radar. Thanks a lot for listening.
You've just listened to a report from Movements in Manila, an event that happened last Thursday. It was the opening. It's continuing now. And it's being held at Casa Maza at Park, just north of Montreal.